Very pleased to introduce our first speaker this morning, Elisa Rainey. Elisa is a partner at Rainey & Rainey in Waco, Texas. She's a certified elder law attorney by the National Elder Law Foundation. She's a past president of Texas NALA, and she's a member of the Special Needs Alliance. She's also a member of the State Bar of Texas REPTL section, where she helps us advocate for our clients and for us in the legislature with bills. And she's a frequent speaker. Not only that, she is the co-chair of this fabulous program, and so it's my pleasure to introduce to you Elisa Rainey.
Well, good morning. We are going to visit this morning about child support, and I know that generally if we say family law, the rest of us go, ooh. So it's not generally our preferred area of practice, but this area of special needs planning, of course, bleeds over in great measure with those, our colleagues who do practice family law. And so we are called upon on occasion to consult, to assist, whatever, hopefully not take the lead in a family law matter. But let's talk a little bit about how special needs planning and family law matters, specifically child support, can relate. So generally when we talk about child support from SSI's perspective, SSI says child support is the income of the person for whom it is paid. Whether they are a minor, whether they are an adult, SSI treats the child support as the income of that beneficiary of the child support. It is treated as unearned income. So in the case of SSI, it results in a dollar-for-dollar offset of SSI benefits. Now, there is a little bit of a different treatment if that beneficiary is a minor as opposed to an adult. So in the case of a minor, SSI specifically says that one-third of that child support amount is disregarded in calculating income. So income of an individual excludes one-third of support received by a child from an absent parent. And then SSI goes on, or the POMS go on, to define child. Actually, we have a reference here to 42 USC 1382, blah, blah, blah. But they define child as an individual who is neither married nor head of household, and they are either under age 18 or under age 22 and still a student. So those individuals, they do get the automatic one-third reduction in the effect of that child support on their SSI benefits. However, again, in the case of an adult, anyone not a child, then that SSI is a dollar-for-dollar offset to their benefit. So what if we simply deposit those payments into an SNT? Does that cure it? We know we cure a whole lot with SNTs, so does that cure this? And it's not quite that simple. In fact, it's pretty complex, and it's becoming more and more complex. So we're going to try to get creative today and talk about some ways to still make it work. So generally speaking, Social Security says payments of income into a trust still count as income to that beneficiary unless the trust is irrevocable and the assignment of that income is irrevocably made to that trust. It has to be by court order. So it has to be a first-party trust with a payback provision in it. So it is truly a first-party trust. Can in some cases receive special support payments, but again, that order for the support into that SNT has to be irrevocable. So here in Texas, we would be looking at a 1301 trust or a 142 trust for the creation of that first party trust. It wouldn't just be, in most cases, it wouldn't just be a family member creating it for that beneficiary. We're looking for a court to create it, typically in the context of a family law matter. So we do have in Texas, under Texas Family Code Section 154.302, we have a specific code section that deals with support payments for disabled children. And there's a bit of a difference or a distinction within that statute when they talk about some payments to adults, to disabled adult children. So generally speaking, 154.302 provides that a court order shall designate a parent or another person having physical custody or guardianship of the child to receive that payment.